saying, we are in a series called Breaking the Yoke of Debt. The Lord is freeing us from debt. That's what the Lord wants to do this year. He wants to free us from debt, get us out of debt, but also he wants to move us into surplus. In fact, in a few weeks, we're going to do a series on living in surplus, living in abundance. Because what the Lord is doing is breaking these things in our lives. But the Lord, see, the Lord doesn't just want to free us from debt. Debt is what you owe. That's getting you out of the money that you owe. The Lord also wants to break the yoke of debt. That's a bondage in the heart. See, the yoke of debt is what will keep people in lack, poverty, and debt. Or even if you got out financially, it'd pull you right back in. The Lord doesn't want to just get us out of Egypt. He wants to get Egypt out of us. Right? That's what we've been preaching the last couple of weeks. And I've been declaring prophetically, I believe it's the word of the Lord. The Lord is saying breakthrough's coming. And I've watched it with a few people. They've already given me testimonies of breakthrough. Some of it financial, some of it other things. But listen, the breakthrough always happens on the inside first. Then it manifests on the outside. And last week we talked about the yoke of mammon. The Lord addressed in our own hearts the yoke of mammon. Mammon is the god, when I say god, I mean, you know, like a spirit, a demon. But Jesus said you can either serve God or mammon. And he was talking about this spirit or this god of possessions, money, the love of money. And we talked about breaking that yoke of mammon. And I said something last week that there is no breakthrough without sacrifice. There is no breakthrough without sacrifice. That's what the Lord's teaching us. We got to sow. You can't reap if you don't sow. You can't get a return on investment if you don't invest. And that's what the Lord's teaching us to do. He's teaching us to break that yoke in our hearts and put the purposes and the plans of God first in our lives, instead of other things like mammon and possessions and stuff. And the Lord has been declaring, let me declare a couple of these prophetic scriptures over you. So these scriptures are for us in this season. Deuteronomy 15:6 says, no one shall be poor in Israel. This is part of the covenant. This is part of God's desire Deuteronomy 15:6, that his people, the covenant people of God, and now because we're in Christ, we're the people of God, that none should be poor. None would be poor. Now listen, I know whenever money's talked about in the church, you know, sometimes it can get a little funny, you know? And sometimes people can get offended and stuff. There really is two ditches in this subject. I mean, there are people who preach a kind of a get rich kind of a thing, and they almost preach as if being rich or having wealth is spiritual or is the only measure of the blessing of God in someone's life. Amen. First of all, that's heresy and very dangerous. Right? It almost becomes like a Pharisaical thing, like I'm blessed because I'm rich. Well, no, that's not how it works. Okay, that's one ditch. We want to avoid that ditch. We want to avoid any kind of thing. We're not preaching materialism, greed. We're not preaching selfishness. No, that's mammon. Right? We're preaching against that. But there is another ditch on the other side that I think a lot of pastors, a lot of churches fall into, and that is thinking that poverty is spiritual, or that if you're poor, you're blessed. Amen. Well, how is that a measure of blessing? How is it that we would do that in the church? So often people just think like that's like a good thing, almost like flaunting their poverty. Well, that's another ditch we need to avoid falling into, because in the Old Testament and the New Testament, not just the Old, even in the New Testament, there are unblushing promises that God would bless his people even financially. Now, we know the blessing starts on the inside. Like the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. So we're not talking about just wealth. In fact, the abundance is not for us necessarily. Amen. But for every good work, it says in 2 Corinthians, that God would give us an abundance for every good work. He wants to meet our need, but he wants to give us surplus. But it's not really for us. It's to give away. He wants his people free so we can serve him, so we can bless people, we can give to other people, not be in fear, not be weighed down. See? So sometimes when people are like, no, I just pray that God meets my need. Well, actually, that's selfish. You think that's faith, but really, no. You say, oh, no, because I don't want to be greedy. No, well, now you're just saying, Lord, just meet my need. Well, what about other people? Right. What about living in such a way that would bring us into abundance? So this is what the Lord's doing. He's changing, right? He's breaking this yoke on the inside of us, that yoke of debt that has a certain way of thinking, a certain way of handling money, a certain way of talking, a certain way of doing things that keeps people in bondage to money. Keeps people in lack and debt and things like that. The Lord's breaking that, and he's getting us out, just like it says in Ezekiel 34:27. This is another prophetic scripture. The Lord is saying, the trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land, and they will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke. and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. See, instead of depending on this world system, depending on other people, the Lord is saying, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to break that debt. And he's saying, I'm going to cause the trees of the field. Now, this is talking to farmers, but to us, it's what you put your hand to, what you're cultivating, your job. I'm going to release blessing. I'm going to release promotion. I'm going to release favor. And the Lord's saying security, too, in that land. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you safe. Like Roger said, I'm going to break off that devourer that's trying to take from you. Amen. See, this is the word of the Lord. But he's got to deal with us inside the heart first. I've already gotten a couple testimonies. I talked to a gentleman here in our church who said, I mean, he just sowed a little bit into the Lord, a little bit into the kingdom. He just said, I just stepped out in faith, gave a little bit. And but that little bit was all he had. That was it. And so then that week he's thinking, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to eat. You know, he was helping family members out and stuff. He's like, man, I don't know how I'm going to eat. So, of course, he's telling me this afterwards. Of course, I'm like, oh, man, that stinks, right? I never want that. But he said, man, I put into the kingdom. And guess what? That same week, not only did the Lord give him back what he sowed, the Lord gave him more. Amen. That week. That's how the Lord works. But see, it takes that sacrifice to get the breakthrough. Listen to this one. These are a couple testimonies I heard from Pastor Jerry, our senior pastor, in Anaheim. Because, you know, we're a church of 18-plus congregations. He said he got an email and it says, this man says, my wife and I started attending The Rock, so this is back in Anaheim, on Easter 2016. We've been attending for just over a year. We did OSL level one. OSL, for those of you who don't know, it's our discipleship system where we see a lot of breakthrough. We'd already been changing, but OSL had a huge impact on us. I think it was about May that we started tithing. My prayer about it was this. God, you said you'd bless us for tithing. I'm going to tithe. It's now on you to keep your promise. Amen. Well, on my birthday, I got a raise. Not a 10% raise, a 20% raise. Woo! Anybody want that? I like that. I like that one. Or how about this one? This is crazy. Oh, wait, hey, where'd that? Oh, I got it right here. Listen to this one. This person emailed Pastor Jerry and said, the first time I tithed, my hours were doubled. The second time I tithed, I received a grant for about $6,000. Just this week, I was able to pay about 80% of one credit card, 90% of another, and 100% of my third. I do not forget to thank God for this. My current credit card debt is now only $200. See, the Lord wants to get us out of debt, but he also wants to break the yoke of debt. I mean, these are just real people testimony, testifying of the Lord's faithfulness that, hey, I'm going to sow into the kingdom. And everybody's story is different. See, abundance is going to look different for every person. It looks different for us here versus another state versus another country. It's what the Lord wants to do is bring blessing and abundance to our life where we're at and what we're doing and what we're called to do, all right? So today, I believe the Lord wants to break another yoke, the yoke of lust. In 1 John, let's read 1 John together, actually, together. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verse 15 and 16 together. So if you don't have the New King James Version, that's all right. We're going to read everybody out loud together right here on the screen. If you have a different translation, that's all good. A lot of good ones out there. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Let's read that all together. Go. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, what the Lord is saying here is we as believers are not to love the things, the system, the values, the culture of this world. Doesn't mean the people. We love the people of the world. The people were made by God. Jesus loves the people. He died for the people. What this verse is saying is we as believers are a part of a different kingdom. We've been brought out of the kingdom of the darkness, liberated, if you will, of the control and the sway and the influence of the devil. And he's brought us into the kingdom of God, and now Jesus is our Lord. And we're to love God and seek first the kingdom of God and not love the things that the world loves. See, if you think about it, all the brokenness in relationships, the brokenness in the economy, the brokenness in politics, what does it all come back to? It comes back to selfishness. The Bible says the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. It causes people to do evil things to other people and hurt people and cheat people and things like that. It doesn't matter, you know, right? And it doesn't matter if they're wearing a suit and tie or whatever, you know what I'm saying, right? People do things to other people, right, in marriages and all that because of the selfishness. Well, those are the values of this world. It doesn't work. I mean, all you got to do is watch reality TV for like 2 minutes and you're like, this ain't working. Which, by the way, don't watch reality TV. Man, those people jacked up. No, that's what I'm saying. See, those people are operating, and they've got their wisdom. They've got their philosophy. They've got their proverbs. And the Bible's saying, hey, listen, don't love what they love. Don't follow in the ways of this world. The Bible says in another place in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't get into agreement with the way the world thinks, the way the world values, the way the world spends its time. All that kind of stuff. No, we're supposed to be different. We're called holy, set apart, different. We're for the Lord now. And the Bible's saying, listen, if you love the world, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Bible says, listen, if you love the things of the world, you don't love God. You're not loving the things of God. See, so we need to be people who set ourselves apart and not allow ourselves to be driven by the things that the world are driven by. Motivated, not to be motivated by the things that the world is motivated by. And it goes on to talk about the things in the world. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, right? What drives, what undergirds, what motivates the people in this world to make the decisions that they're making? It says this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What undergirds this world system, God is saying, is pride, thinking I'm better than other people, I'm more important than other people. The lust of the flesh, not just, the flesh is not just your physical skin. It's talking about selfish desires, ways of thinking, emotions, the will, things that are outside of the leadership or the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that flesh, the lust of the flesh, just wanting mine, just wanting to feel comfortable, wanting to be placated, my flesh wanting to be, have pleasure. And the Bible's saying that's what drives the world. The world is running and chasing after this pleasure, looking to be satisfied, looking to be worshipped, looking to, you know, for fame, looking for power, looking for control. And all these people are being driven by these things. And then it also says the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes, just, you know, covetousness, greed, envy, comparing, and all these things driving people to do things, to make choices, to say things, to treat other people certain ways that are bringing brokenness. And if we as people are led by lust, if we're motivated or driven by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, the same things the world are driven by, it's going to keep us stuck. This lust is a yoke in so many people's hearts, and it's a yoke of debt. It is what will keep people stuck. See, because what happens is this lust, it'll draw you away from the purposes of God in your life. You love God, you got a desire for God to do things in your life, but this lust will draw you away from God and into the things of the world, draw you into other things, wasting your time, wasting your energy, making choices that aren't good, and it will bring brokenness, it will bring destruction, and oftentimes is the reason, lust is often the reason people get into debt. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, okay, are we just talking about sexual lust? No. Lust is not just sexual lust, although we use that a lot to talk about impure desires in terms of sexual things. But it's not just that. Lust goes throughout everything. The lust for power, the lust for money, the lust for this or lust for that. It's really what it's talking about in the Bible when the Bible talks about lust is an impure desire, a selfish desire motivated and driven by the things of this world rather than by the love for God. Well, that's not how we should be as believers. We're to be set apart. We need to be a people that flee that lust, deal with it in our hearts so that the blessings of God can flow, so the purposes of God can be fulfilled in our life. And that's what I believe the Lord is saying. Listen, this is what the Lord is saying. Look, we've all made bad choices. We've all made bad choices with money, dumb choices. We've all made choices with relationships and stuff like that. This is not something that there's no person in this room that has not struggled with some of these things that we're talking about, right? Everybody's a little different, but everybody struggled. But this is what I heard the Lord say. The Lord is saying, I want to defeat that which is defeating you. Amen. Some of you feel like you're hitting up a wall on some things in your life, and some of it could be this yoke of lust, some of it could be some other things. And I believe the Lord is saying, I want to defeat what has been defeating you. I believe the Lord is saying that he's going to give us victory over that which has been holding back our blessing. See, so you're saying, Lord, how are you going to get me out of debt? Or how are you going to get me into that abundance? Where's the breakthrough? How is that going to happen? The Lord's going to give us freedom from these things that are holding us back. There might be some yokes. There might be some things. The Lord's going to break that yoke and give us victory, cause us to overcome those things that have been holding back the blessing. Going to break it open and release the blessing. Amen. 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 I'll tell you, though, if we don't deal with this yoke of lust, if we don't deal with this yoke of lust, like I said, it draws right into bondage, draws right into brokenness. Remember that man Achan? Remember Achan? He destroyed his life and hurt a lot of other people in the process because of lust, because he didn't deal with it in his heart. Remember Achan? It goes all the way back to that story in Joshua, the book of Joshua, regarding that the story of when the Israelites went into the promised land and took the city of Jericho. Now think about it. God set the people of Israel free from Egypt, got them out of Egypt, took them through the wilderness, and he not only got them out of the bondage of Egypt, while they were in the wilderness, he was dealing with that stuff in their heart. He was dealing with that, with getting Egypt out of them. He was dealing with that yoke in their own heart. And so he gets them out. He gets them out of Egypt, and finally they're ready to go into the promised land. Finally, they are going into the promised land. The promised land is that picture of the promises and the blessings and the abundance of God in our life. But there are some strongholds in the promised land, and they need to be taken out. So the first city they come to was Jericho. Huge walls. And you remember that God said, listen, I want to take this city out supernaturally. So he told the Israelites, you're going to march around the wall 7 times for 7 days, and then you're going to shout to that wall. And God supernaturally caused those walls to fall down and caused the Israelites to go in and get victory. And the Lord was wanting to, if you will, flex his supernatural muscles. He's wanting to show people that you need to depend on me to enter into that promised land and to see that breakthrough. So he leads the people to Jericho. He brings those walls down in Jericho. They defeat Jericho. They get into the promised land. The blessings are flowing. And here's the thing about Jericho. Because it was the first city, God told the Israelites, destroy everything. Don't take any of the plunder. Don't take any spoils. Don't take any riches. Don't take anything. Give it all to me. Burn it completely as an offering to me. Why? Because God always wants the first. I'm telling you, this isn't Old Testament, New Testament. This is all over the Bible. Starts all the way back in Genesis, the first couple chapters. God always wants the first. Why? Because he wants your heart. Because he wants your heart. And he always tests us with the first fruits, right? The first portion, which is the tithe. The Israelites are supposed to give an offering for their firstborn son. The Israelites are supposed to take every firstborn animal and kill it and offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord. First, the first, the first, the first. It's all over the Bible. So they get into Jericho and God says, I want the first. You can have all the other plunder, yes, but I want the first. So they go in there, and God supernaturally destroys Jericho, and they are defeated. And then check this out. So this is a victory. The next city is called Ai. So they go over to Ai, and they go against Ai, and they fight, and 36 men die. 36 men killed in battle. And all the Israelites are like, what is going on? See, they got a victory in their life, and all of a sudden now a defeat. And just like us, they're thinking, what is up with God? And Joshua, even the leader, goes to God and says, God, why did you let this happen? Why would you bring us here to let us die? See, a lot of times things happen in our lives, and we're blaming God. Joshua turns to God. I mean, Joshua's crying out to God, and God says to Joshua, because Joshua's on his face before the Lord, which was good, and God says to him, get up, stop crying. He says, there's sin in the camp. The people of Israel have withheld the sacred portion. See, that's the thing. The first part always belongs to God. The tithe belongs, that's what the Bible says. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Not a lot of people say, well, everything belongs to God. No, I get that. But in the Bible, all over the Bible, God says, that's my part. I blessed you. I've given you life. You know, he said, "Listen, that's my part." I heard a preacher say, it's our rent payment for staying living on planet Earth. I thought that was funny. That's probably not the right way to say it, but I thought it was kind of funny. So God says, listen, they have withheld the part that is mine. So that next day, they gather all the Israelites, and they pray, and they cast lots, and they find out that it was Achan. And they bring Achan, and listen to what Achan says. Oh, you guys are, look at that right there. It's right there. You've been cheating. You guys been cheating. Nancy, I'm messing. Look at this. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent, with the silver under it. And listen, he was destroyed, his family was destroyed, 36 men died because of that. Yeah. See, we don't realize the effect that our choices have even on other people and our family. But he did not get to experience the blessing of God. It destroyed him. Why? Because the lust of the eyes. He saw this beautiful Babylonian garment, this money, this gold, and he had to take it. Coveted in his heart, lust in his heart. I want it. I know God said I shouldn't have it. I know God said no. I know this is God's part, but I'm gonna have it. I deserve it. Yeah. And he took it. And with it, he took death. See, that's what lust will do. It's bait and switch. That's what the devil does every time. Come on. Come on, you know. You listen to commercials. You listen to credit card commercials just like me. Oh, it's funny. I laugh. Live the best life now. Right. They should have a disclaimer. Well, you go in debt. Right? What? What? It's crazy. It's like they're preaching a gospel, but it's a false one, isn't it? Amen. Man, we got the life and life more abundantly, and you got this consumerism, materialistic culture out there pumping us words after words, 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 right? Commercial after commercial. It's everywhere, billboards, music, it's in the TV, the radio, over, and we've been conditioned our whole life. You deserve it. Yeah. Treat yourself. And what are they doing? They're playing to our flesh. Yeah. That's right. You want it, you need it, right? Right, and they got to make it all glamorous and beautiful and make it look all like you need that vacation and you need that better phone and you need that better car and you need this and you want it and you deserve it. And it's just playing to our flesh. Amen. See, I know some of you thinking like Babylonian coat, man. I say, I could say no to that, right? But what if it was the new iPhone? That's right. Now, there's nothing wrong with the new iPhone, but with that new iPhone comes a pretty hefty debt, as you have to pay them back month after month after month after month, right? Now, I'm not saying if you don't need it. I mean, if you need a new phone, that's different. But you get what I'm saying? See, sometimes we can say, oh, yeah, that's Achan. That's Achan. You know what I'm saying? That's Achan. But we struggle with the same stuff. It's not the Babylonian garment. No. But it's that new car, like I said. You know, for some of us, it's that burger. You know what I'm saying? On that billboard. Like, I need to go and eat that. Right? It's the Starbucks drink. Like that weird one that they have out now with the unicorn thing. That's just weird. Listen to what it says right here in Proverbs 21:17. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. As a proverb, it's not saying that we can't enjoy life. What it's saying is if that's what you live for, if you live by the values of this world, that you just satisfy your own pleasure and craving, and you chase after those riches, and you think, man, that's what it is, to be comfortable, to not have to ever work again, to be able to drink and eat and do this and do that. Well, no, now you're just living for you. And what it is it's bait and switch. You think you're going after those things, but really what you're going after is poverty. Whereas if you'll go after serving the Lord, you'll go after investing in the kingdom, you'll go after hard work, being faithful, being consistent, oh, the blessing of the Lord will chase you and overtake you. And you'll be able to enjoy the things of life. But when you chase after the love of money and you chase after these lustful things, and you get these things out of order, and you get into a place of selfishness, it's bait and switch. Amen. Oh yeah, you'll be happy, you'll be happy, you'll be... No, you won't. You won't be satisfied. See, that yoke of debt, that yoke of mammon, that lust, never satisfied. Amen. Never content. Never content. Listen to these... Let me be a little silly here. Well, I don't know, maybe this will poke too. Listen to these translations. Nowadays I got all these different translations in the Bible. Right? I got some new ones for you here. This is Proverbs, just listen to this. This is Proverbs 21:17, but in different translations. This is the NTT. This is the New Techno Translation. He who loves technology will be a poor man. He who loves smartphones and video games will drive a junky car. Or how about this one? The MAWV translation. This is the mall addicted woman version. She who loves shopping will be a poor woman. She who loves purses and shoes will lack money for hair and nails. How about this? The NDST, the newly defined savings translation. He who is married to someone who utters the words, "I saved so much money at the mall today," will be a poor man. The more she saves, the more his retirement delays. Or how about this one? This one might poke a few people. The NSVVWW translation. This is the new Starbucks venti version with whip. He who loves coffee bar beverages will be a poor man. He who loves macchiatos and frappuccinos will eat a lot of pinto beans. No, listen, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that. But our culture has conditioned us. You go out to eat every day. You go to your Starbucks every day, right? You got to have the new phone. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got all these things, and it gets sucked in. And for everybody, it's different. For everybody, right? We're like, oh, no, I don't do that one. But maybe you do the other one. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. But what happens a lot of times is we're just pouring out our money like that. We're just pouring out our money because a lot of it is the flesh, isn't it? And we got to be careful with that. Now, again, if you got the finances to do that and it's not wrong, you know, you do those things a little bit, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we got to really, and we're going to talk about some of these, there's wisdom. There's some principles of wisdom as we talk about living in surplus. The Lord's going to talk to us about, well, what's the wisdom of getting out and getting into the blessing? Some of it's getting some of this extra spending under control. But a lot of this, here's the thing, the principles are not difficult. You know, I'll give you one. Here's how you get out of debt. All right, stay out of debt. Just spend less than you make. Amen. Woo! Somebody say amen to that. Right. Preach it. But listen, the principles aren't difficult. That's why God has to break the yoke of debt in our hearts. Because the principles aren't difficult. What's difficult is right here in our hearts. What's difficult is we need the freedom from the flesh. And that's why the Lord is saying, I'm going to defeat what's defeating you. I'm going to give you victory over the thing that's been holding you back. See, it's not a matter of us judging, you know, nobody's judging expenses and who's buying what or whatever. But it's the Lord saying, no, if you are needing to make some choices to make adjustments with your time, your spending, your habits, if you need to make some of these adjustments with your allegiance to the Lord and your focus with the Lord, but you've been kind of running into those old habits, the Lord's saying, no, I'm going to set you free. Amen. Listen to the way it says it right here. I'm going to go quick through some of these things here. It says in Galatians 5, 16 through 17, it says... Galatians 5, 16 through 17. It says this. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the cravings of the flesh or the sinful nature. Right? And then it goes on to say in verse 17, he says, for the desires of the flesh, right? The flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Use an interesting word in the New King James. It says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. That word lust, again, is desire. It's meaning that your born-again spirit, if Christ is in you, your spirit's born again and you're alive in Christ. Christ's righteousness is in you and your spirit wants to do God's will. Your spirit is righteous, loves God. That's that part of you that's been born again. Not just forgiven, but given righteousness. You really do love God. That's why you hate it when you mess up. That's why you want to please God. That's why you're sitting here. Listen to this crazy guy up here. That's why It's why you're a bad sinner. Like you're like, ah, I'm not good at it anymore. And that's what's going on here, but we still have a flesh. There's a part of us, our mind, our will, our emotions, our physical cravings, that are in tension. And it's literally a battle. It is literally a battle. See, when you weren't even a Christian, when you were not born again, you weren't even in the battle. You were just in bondage. But the moment you came to the Lord, man, your eyes were open, your heart loving Jesus, and all of a sudden, oh, now it's a battle. Before, you were just all bound up. Now, it's like you weren't even on the chessboard. Now you're on the chessboard, and now there's a battle. And it's different now. Now your flesh is warring against your spirit, and you have these desires for God, and you also have these fleshly desires. But I love what it says. By the way, this is a promise. Galatians 5:16, listen to the promise. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the cravings of the flesh. That's not a command, that's a promise. You will not. The Lord is telling us how to walk in victory here. If you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll overcome. Well, what does that mean to walk in the Spirit? It means that I'm depending on the power of God and the power of the Spirit to give me the ability to do what I could not do in my own strength. God's saying, I'm working in you to will and to do. It's Christ's righteousness, not your own righteousness. But you have to depend on him. You have to believe it. That's step one. People who walk in the Spirit believe and trust and depend upon the power of Christ's righteousness for them. If you don't believe you can be free, if you don't believe that you can get freedom from these things like lust, then you'll just keep going right back to it. You'll keep letting the enemy and those temptations bully you, and you'll walk around defeated. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. But when you hear the gospel, what I'm preaching to you, and you hear, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are dead to sin and alive to God. And you believe it. Now you begin to talk different. You begin to walk different. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit doesn't mean don't sin. It's a silly way to think of that verse. Don't sin, and you won't sin. That's how most Christians think. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the cravings of the flesh. Most people think, don't sin, and you won't sin. That's silly. Right. Paul is not saying, don't sin. He's saying, listen, I've got the way to victory. Amen. And it's not in your own human ability. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you'll walk in the Spirit, depending on the Lord's power will set you free. And this means we've got to make some adjustments, like adjustments in the way we think. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 11, reckon yourself, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Just like Jesus died and rose again, now you are alive in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, reckon yourself that way. See, think of it like this. God has given to you his righteousness in your bank account. He's deposited on the inside of you. You really are righteous in Christ. But now you have to reckon it. That's like an accounting term. That means you have to believe that that righteousness is there, and you have to, by faith, access and withdraw. Faith accesses the potential. What God has deposited inside of us, you access that spiritual bank account, your righteousness in Christ, by faith. This is how it works. I've never gotten victory in my life without first believing that God wanted it more than me. And I'll tell you, I've gotten victory over a lot of things. I'm still in the journey like everybody else, but the Lord has set me free from so much, and it always began with believing his promise in the Word of God. So first off, reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God. And there's so much other wisdom I can give you. I'll give you another day. But another thing is get your words into alignment. That's why we've been talking about our words. Like in James chapter 3, it says there in James chapter 3, indeed, we all make, let me read this in the New Living Translation. Don't put it up on the screen, it'll confuse people. It says, indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large house, a horse, go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. There's a statement here in James where he says, listen, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. So if you'll begin to speak, I am righteous. I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. I can obey God. I love God. You're worth waiting for. You're worth the sacrifice. And you begin to use your words and you direct your body and your eyes and your thoughts where it needs to go. So you got to believe that you're righteous in Christ. Begin to speak like that. And then there's some other things like redirecting your eyes. We don't always need to be gazing at those commercials, gazing at the images that the world wants us to put at. Sometimes we just need to turn it off.
Amen.
Right? Sometimes we need to turn away from those things and say, no, I'm not going to gaze at those things. And redirect our eyes away from those things that would draw us into the lust of the eyes. Yeah? Sometimes we just need to run away. Like the Bible says, flee sexual morality and greed even. It says, flee, run away from it. Sometimes we just got to get out of that environment, away from people that might be influencing us the wrong way. Think about it like this. Let me give you an illustration. We'll wrap it up with an illustration here. Think about a man, and he eats a lot of donuts, like a lot of donuts. And he's decided, I'm not going to eat a lot of donuts anymore. I'm going to go on a donut diet, okay? This man says, no more donuts. So he's okay for a couple days, but then he starts thinking about the donut. Oh, the glazed. The jelly filled, right? He's thinking about it. He didn't eat one yet, right? But he's telling himself, I didn't eat it. Oh, but they are good. And then he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to walk by the store because I haven't been over there for a little bit. You know, in fact, I got to go to the hardware store, the one that's right next to the donut store. That's what I got to do. I need to do that, right? And so he goes to the hardware store and he walks by the donut store. And then, of course, when he's walking by the donut store, he says to himself, I just want to smell the donuts. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to smell the donuts. He goes in, the sugar, the oil, right? And he takes a look at it. Oh, he's looking at it in the glass. I'm not eating. I'm just looking. Right? That's a proverb of the world, right?
Yeah.
You can read the menu. You don't have to eat from the menu. No, that's a proverb from the world that brings destruction. Jesus said, no, you looking at the menu, you already like you eating it.
Amen.
Jesus said, you lust in your heart, you already did it. Okay? So the guy's looking at the donut. He's smelling the donut. He's going over to the donut shop. He's thinking about the donut. You know what happened, right? Died of a heart attack. I'm messing. That was a joke. I'm messing. You know he broke his diet. Because it all starts with the thoughts, doesn't it?
Amen.
Listen. If something's ensnaring you, you know what I'm saying? We don't need to be tormenting ourselves like that. Sometimes we need to, you know, stop searching the web all the time. Stop looking at all these other things. And just set these things aside. Seek the Lord.
Amen.
Right? The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have your mind on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8. Those who walk in the Spirit have their minds on the things of the Spirit. It means, listen, I'm going to think about God. I'm going to think about Him in my life. I'm going to read the Word and meditate on the Word, listen to the Word. I'm going to be thinking about God and what God's doing and the purpose of God. See, you begin to talk to yourself and you begin to talk to the Lord about why it is maybe you're making certain choices. Like maybe why it is you're not going to go and grab that burger over there because no, I need to save for this. See? And you got to have that vision and have those your mind on the right things, you know? Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's something you're saving for. Maybe it's the fact that no, I'm gonna give to the Lord, and I'm gonna not do those other things. I'm gonna give to the Lord, and I believe the Lord is gonna lift me up.
Amen.
See, whatever it is, we need to make those adjustments in our life. And this is what the Lord is saying. This is what I'm saying. The Lord is saying, I'm going to defeat what has been defeating you. I'm gonna give you victory. And I let me read one more scripture to you. Listen to this. It's in Hosea 2.15. Can you put that up, Hosea 2.15? Sorry, I didn't have it in my notes here. Throw up Hosea 2.15. I believe the Lord is saying something to you today. Listen to this word from the Lord. It's prophetic. Listen to this. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. I'm going to take the valley of Achor and I'm going to turn it into a door of hope. You say, well, what's the valley of Achor? The Valley of Achor was where Achan sinned and was killed. That was the Valley of Achor. They called it the Valley of Achor because of him. The Valley of Achor is the place of defeat. It's the place of despair. It's the place where you tried, but you failed in your own strength. Where maybe you made some bad choices and you feel dumb, but the Lord is saying, no, there's no shame or condemnation in Christ. And I'm going to take that place where you made some mistakes. I'm going to take that place where maybe you got into debt. I'm going to take that place where you feel defeated. I'm going to take that place called the Valley of Achor, and I'm going to turn it into a door of hope. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to give you hope and help you to realize, no, I'm going to defeat that thing that's been defeating you. I'm going to break that yoke. The Lord is saying, nothing is impossible for me. Amen. I'm not limited in any way. And if you trust in me, nothing can stop you either. The Lord is saying, I'm speaking to you about these things today because I want to bring you freedom. If you'll open your heart to me, if you'll trust me and depend on me, the power of my righteousness sets you free. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. 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 Let me pray for you.